Sunday school and turn to Psalms 144. And then hold your finger there. And in a minute, we're going to go to Proverbs 17. And this is a kind of a strange message. But I preached this down in Louisiana at a revival. And when I got through preaching it, I told the preacher, I said, man, I might have should have preached that. And he said, preacher, that probably helped my church more than anything you've ever preached. And I believe it'll help you. The Bible says in Proverbs 144, verse 15, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Now, if you want to know the whole context, you have to go back up in verse 9. Excuse me. But I don't have time to do all that this morning. But it's talking about saved folks that love God. And it says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. All right, go to Proverbs 17, verse 22. A very familiar verse. Everybody in here can probably quote it. The Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and dear God, we love you. Father, we plead the blood of God's Son today over this meeting. Father, we pray for this church and this people. Pray, dear God, that you'd meet with us this morning. And dear God, encourage some people with the word of God. And Father, we'll sure love you and give you the praise for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to teach for a while this morning on don't worry, be happy. I was in a mission conference a while back, and I was preaching first. It was a big church, and I was preaching first, and the president of a Bible college was following me. And if I called his name, you'd know him. And I always tell some old corny joke before I preach, you know, to try to get people laughing and smiling. And when he got up, he pulled his glasses down, looked at me. He said, young man, I was probably about as old as he was. He said, young man, the pulpit's no place for humor. And I just stood up and I said, hey, Doc, I'm an old man. You do it your way and I'll do it my way. Amen. God had moved and we'd had a great time. Listen, people don't stop laughing when they die. They die when they stop laughing. Somebody, you know, God's people are wading through hell about knee deep trying to serve God today. And if anybody in God's world ought to be happy, it ought to be us. Man, we don't have any right to be, we're too blessed to be depressed. Man, we got too much, God's been too good to us. And if anybody ought to be happy, it ought to be us. Years ago, an old calypso singer named Bobby McFerrin wrote a song called Don't Worry, Be Happy. It said, here's a little song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, and when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. The landlord says your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no cash. Ain't got no style. Ain't got no girl to make you smile. Don't worry, be happy. Because when you worry, your face will frown. That'll bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. You know what? A lot of truth to that old song. I've never in my lifetime seen so many depressed and defeated people. And I'm not talking about out in the world. I'm talking about in the church. Man, I mean, you come to church sometime and you hate to ask anybody how they're doing. Man one time was real depressed and defeated. And he went to the doctor and the doctor said, well, how depressed are you? And he said, I'm real depressed. I can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't work. And he said, why don't you take about a month and take a trip down to the islands? And he said, Doc, I just got back from a month in the Bahamas. And he said, well, buy you a new car. That usually cheers me up. He said, I drive a $50,000 Mercedes. He said, well, buy you a new house. He said, man, I live in a $500,000 mansion over yonder on the side of the mountain. He said, let me get this right. You just got back from a month in the islands, and you drive a new Mercedes and live in a mansion. He said, why are you depressed? And he said, well, Doc, I don't make but $100 a week, amen. And I thought, you know, that's the reason about half our church members are depressed. But, you know, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. I was up at Cove Creek up in West Virginia, and I told a little joke and about why there are no black NASCAR drivers, and I thought it was a cute little joke. And a man came up to me after service and said, that offended me. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend anybody. And he said, my mother's here, and she's lost, and she probably won't never come back. And his mother was standing right beside him, and I was going to turn around and apologize to her. And she said, leave the preacher alone. I thought the joke was funny. Amen. And listen, the devil wants to keep you down. I believe if the lost people could see some joy in our lives, they might want what we've got. You know, people plan to be miserable. Did you know that? They work at being miserable. Somebody said, how can you tell when it's going to be a rotten day? You call suicide prevention and they put you on hold, or your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles, and your twin sister forgot your birthday, or your car horn goes off accidentally and remains stuck as you follow some Hell's Angels down the interstate. You know, it's going to be a bad day. And you put both contact lenses in the same eye, or your wife says, good morning, Bill, and your name's George. It's probably going to be a bad day. Listen, God has a remedy for stress. Worry about nothing, pray about everything, and be thankful for all things. You know what would help us? Now, I'm going to give you some reasons and some ways to be happy in a minute. But you know what would really help us? If we learn to appreciate the small things. Now, y'all got a wonderful church here, but I've been to some churches up in these mountains that are wild as a buck. I don't know if you've ever been to any of them, but we went to a camp meeting up at one. It was sitting on the side of the mountain, and you could step out. The windows were open. It was real hot. It's been a long time ago. And they had the windows open, and you could step out the windows on this side of the building out into the parking lot. But if you fell out the other window, it was about two stories down. And, man, this one guy was running around the building shouting and hollering, acting the fool. And he come running across the front, and he said, God told me to jump out this window. And he went to the wrong side. And he looked out, and we said, jump, jump, baby. And he said, this ain't the window he told me to jump out of. And, you know, praise God, learn to appreciate things. Old Billy Kelly was, y'all probably knew him, weighed about 400 pounds and big, looked like a professional wrestler. And he was scared to death of a snake. And a missionary one time down at the camp meeting put an artificial snake in his bed. And, I mean, scared him. And he went over there and grabbed that missionary and just picked him up and shook him. And he said, I ought to kill you, but he said, I'm not. But he said, I promise you I'll get even. And about two nights later, they was at that big camp meeting, probably 500-600 people there. And they were sitting on the front row, and the preacher was preaching. And the missionary fell asleep. They'd been going all day and all night, you know. And he dozed off, and old brother Billy Kelly bumped him and said, hey, Don, they call on you to pray. And man, he jumped up and said, Lord, God bless you. And I mean, the preacher right in the middle of his sermon, you know, and he stopped and waited, and he said, well, when old brother Don gets through praying, I'll finish preaching, amen. But listen, learn to appreciate the small thing. All right, how can you be happy? Happy people are contagious. Man, don't you love to be around happy people? And happy, you know, happy people are more healthy. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And happy people are more attractive. Proverbs 15:13 says a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. You know, we could all use some help there. I preach a meeting down in Louisiana, and there's a girl in the church named Chantel Bonner. She's probably in her mid-40s, a beautiful lady. She's blind, been blind, I guess, all her life or since she was a baby. And she can sing and play the piano. And she sits about five rows back. I don't know why she sits back that far, but she does. And they call on her to sing about every service. And she'll get up and bump into a few things, and she's got to have bruises all over, and finally make her way to the piano and play and sing with a touch of God on her soul. And, man, I just, my wife said, man, she's beautiful. And I said, what makes her so beautiful is the fact she's filled with the Spirit of God. Listen, happy people are more attractive, and happy people are more productive. All the big companies teach us that. And most happy people are distinctively Christian. Have you noticed that? Praise God, I'm happy because I'm saved forever. Man, I'm not going to lose what I've got. I'm happy to know heaven's my home. I'm happy to know I have help in time of trouble. I was down in St. Lucia, and I called my wife and said, honey, how's everything going? She said, all right, I reckon. And when you've been married 45 years, you can read between the lines real good. And I could tell something was wrong. And I said, honey, what's wrong? Anything? She said, well, I'll tell you when you get home. Now, don't ever do me that way. I can't stand that. And I said, honey, that ain't going to work. Tell me now so I can pray. And she said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me I had breast cancer. And, man, I just fell silent. And when I got to thinking, I said, well, go to another doctor. She said, I did, and he told me the same thing. And they have surgery set up as soon as you get home. And I said, well, let me go for right now. I need to go. And I got off the phone, and old brother Sammy Filbert, I don't know if you know him, but old brother Sammy said, preacher, is something wrong? And I said, yes, sir. And I told him, and he said, what are you going to do? And I said, right now I'm going down in the jungle and pray. And about 4 or 5, this young preacher boy said, preacher, can we go with you? And I said, all right, but I don't know how long I'm going to be there. And they said, don't matter. We want to go help you pray. And we went way down in the jungle below his church there and fell on our face in the reeds and began to pray and stayed there a long time. Don't know how long we stayed, but I remember it got late in the afternoon. And, man, I was praying. I said, God, this is my sweetheart, and this is my best friend in the world. And dear God, I don't know what I'd do without her. I need her, God. Please do something. And, boy, late that afternoon, boy, those reeds began to blow, and, boy, I felt the Holy Ghost show up and say, preacher, everything's going to be all right. And I got to shout, and I said, praise God. And them young preachers come running over and said, what's going on? I said, listen, I got a word from God, and this thing's going to be all right. And I went back up and called my wife, and I said, honey, I was praying, and God showed up, and this thing's going to be all right. And she said, well, what you want me to do about the surgery? And I said, just wait till I get home. We went down that morning, and big, tall woman doctor, about 6'5", came out, and she said, preacher, we got everything ready, and the surgery will probably take. She told me how long it's going to take. And I said, ma'am, listen. I said, you probably won't understand this if you're not a Christian. But I said, when my wife told me this, I was in St. Lucia. And I said, I went down in the jungle and prayed, and God showed up. And I mean, the Holy Spirit whispered in my ear that everything was all right. And I said, I want you to run all the tests again before you do the surgery. And she said, preacher, we're ready. I said, I don't care. I'll just pay for it. Whatever it takes, you just run the... She said, well, take a while to rerun them. And I said, I'll be sitting right here in this waiting room. And I mean, 2 or 3 hours later, she came back and called me and Barbara over and said, Miss Sessions, I don't know what the other doctors found, but I can tell you for sure there's nothing there now. And listen, boy, I'm happy because I got a God that can help me in time of trouble. Amen. I'm happy to know that when Jesus comes, I really get to go. And I'm happy to be married to my wife for 45 years. And I'm happy to be a member of Cornerstone Baptist Church and happy to be a God-called preacher and relatively healthy for my age. And praise God, I'm happy God gave me some cool grandkids. Amen. Boy, I love my grandkids. Sometimes they can try you. Boy, that grandson of mine, one of these days I'm going to wind up killing him probably. But we went down to the coast with our grandkids. Now, we don't go to the beach because we're Christians, amen. We went to the coast, but it was the place we stayed was on the beach, amen. And anyway, we were in one of them condominiums there, and we were walking across the parking lot right there in front of the thing, and there was cars coming, and I told my son, I said, grab onto your sister's hand because don't let her get run over. And he said, no. Wrong answer. And we had, by that time, we walked in the lobby there and figured to get on the elevator. And I reached over and swatted him on the seat. Didn't hurt him, just swatted him one time. And man, he fell out, about 15 people around. He fell on the floor and said, oh, my Lord, I think you broke my leg. I think he broke. And I'm telling you, I thought I was going to get mugged. And the elevator door opened and I drug him on the elevator and closed the door real quick. And got up between floors, between the 6th and 7th floor and hit the stop button and wore him out. You said, preacher, I wouldn't do that. Well, that's why you raised them brats you raising, amen. Praise God. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm happy. Boy, you can be sad if you want to be, but praise God, I got a lot to be happy about. And the Bible says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Right, how can you be happy? Number one, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen, that's not a suggestion, that's a command. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Let him control. Listen, Satan will do, if you are filled with the Spirit, Satan will do everything in his power to snatch it away from you. Ain't that amazing? I hadn't been married. I hadn't been saved long. And we lived in Tallahassee, Alabama. And we went to Montgomery, Alabama for something. And we was coming home about 11:30 that night. It was cold and raining. And I'm going to tell you how long ago it was. They had just opened Interstate 85 in that section. And, that's how they were just building it, just had finished it. And I was driving a blue Chevy Malibu, beautiful car. And I had a blowout on the right front tire, and I was able to get it off the road, and it was drizzling rain. And you know what? Sometimes you just let your mouth overload you. I looked at my wife, and I said, I ain't getting out in this rain if we sit here all night. And, man, we sat there about an hour, and instead of getting lighter, it got worse and worse. And it finally dawned on me, if I didn't get out, we were going to be there all night. And, man, that really made me mad because I done made that big statement, you know, to my wife. And I looked at my wife. I said, I'm going to get out and change this tire. If I drown, don't you open your mouth. And I got out, and I found out two things about spare tires that night. I got that spare tire out of the trunk, and I was mad, and I body slammed it. And they bounced. It probably bounced as high as this ceiling. And then when it came down, I had to run for my life. And when it came down, it rolled down the hill into a beaver pond, and they float. And it just sailed out across. And I was out there in neck deep water trying to catch my tire with the alligators and snakes at 11:30 at night in the rain. And boy, the Holy Ghost said, that'll teach you losing your temper and acting a fool. Listen, be filled with the Spirit. And then, you know, hang around other happy people. Don't you love to be around happy people? If you want some friends, just be happy. People love to be around happy people. You've heard me tell this. It's probably my favorite story in the world. Ronald Reagan told a story about two boys, an optimist and a pessimist. And they wanted to do a test on them, see what made them tick. And they took the pessimist and locked him in a room full of brand new toys to see if he'd complain. And they wanted to do something real bad to the optimist and see how he'd react. So they locked the optimist in a room full of manure. I can say that. Y'all country folks up here, amen. And they came back an hour later, and the pessimist was sitting in the corner crying. And they said, boy, why are you crying? He said, I'm afraid I'm going to break one of these new toys. And he went over there where the optimist was and said there's manure on the ceiling, manure on the walls, manure in his hair. And they said, son, what in the world are you doing? He said, with all this manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Boy, hey, listen, don't you love people like that? Praise God. Hang around other happy people. And listen, here's something. If you want to be happy, you need to have a clear conscience. The Bible says the guilty fleeth where no man pursueth. Buddy, you're not going to be happy if you're sneaking around looking at the ugly things on the internet or stealing the salt shakers from the steakhouse or lying or gossiping or whatever you do. Listen, you need to have a clear conscience. I mean, quit talking about everybody and start talking to God and get your mind right. Get a clear conscience if you really want to be happy. And then choose to be thankful in everything. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I've got a good friend out in Louisiana I preach for every year when I'm home. And his name is Dub Darnell. I mean, just a dear friend. I mean, I've known him for 30 years or longer. And I preached for him just about that long. And he's got a big old log church out there. Made up out of logs. Big, beautiful thing. And when I first started preaching for him, he was in a storefront building. And I went off to the mission field 4 years, came back, and he called me and said, I want you to come preach. And I went out there, and he was in that beautiful building. And I said, what in the world happened? He said, God bless me for just being faithful. He just said, I just stayed by the stuff, and God blessed me for it. But anyway, I was down in Claxton, Georgia, preaching, and where they make them good fruit cakes. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but it's probably the best fruit cake you can buy apart from a homemade fruit cake. And I thought, you know, Darnell out in Louisiana had never had one of these. And I bought a couple of them big ones and took them down to UPS and shipped them. And I thought, praise God, he'll love these. And I never did hear from him. So about 3 weeks later, I called him. I thought maybe he didn't get them. And I called him and I said, hey, Dub, did you get those fruitcakes? He said, yes, sir, I sure did. And I said, well, how were they? He said, I hate fruitcakes. I'm using them for a doorstop, amen. I thought, well, you won't never get another one from me, amen. Hey, where are the young people at? Young people learn to say thank you. If somebody gives you something, say thank you. Boy, if somebody's a blessing to you, write them a thank you note. People have forgotten how to say thank you. And then don't worry about things that haven't happened yet. Boy, when Matthew, turn to Matthew 6. Let me see if I got enough time. All right, go to Matthew 6 for a minute. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls are there, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And it goes on all the way down to verse 34. But, you know, most of the things we worry about never happen. Boy, we build things. I used to have an old horse when I was a kid. He saw a booger behind every bush. I mean, he'd jump right out Monday. I mean, if a piece of paper rattled or a leaf rattled, son, he'd leave you sitting on the ground. And, boy, a lot of Baptists are like that. I mean, they just, you know, I heard we've had a little bit of problem in our church, and we tried to give our pastor a housing allowance, and the associate pastor and two or three others in the church fought against it, and we wound up losing some folks over it. And my preacher, it just like to kill him. Man, the people that you help the most seem like they always hurt you the worst. And I mean the people that we'd really helped and loved, and we lost some of them. And the other night after church, I heard him and his wife talking, him and my daughter talking. And she said, you know, two of our members didn't come in church. They stayed out in the hallway talking. And that bothered them because they, you know, we'd done been through such a mess. They thought, well, I wonder what they was out there talking about. You know? And we worry about, an old man was asked what had robbed him of his joy most of his lifetime. And he replied, things that never happened. I was talking to Dr. Howells one day. We was eating lunch. And he said he had an uncle named Harvey. And he said his uncle Harvey had to have both of his legs amputated. Right at the trunk. Because of diabetes or something. I don't know exactly what it was. But and he said he stayed awake 3 nights. He said, what do you say to a man that just had to have both legs amputated right here? He said, how do you encourage somebody? And he said, man, he studied the Bible for 2 or 3 days trying to find something, and the only thing he could find was Romans 8:28. And he said he was down there, and they took his uncle in and did the surgery and brought him back to the room and said they had him under the anesthetics, and took him a while to wake up. And while Brother Howells was waiting on him to wake up, he fell asleep. And he said when he woke up, his uncle was sitting there staring at him. And he said, oh, I'm sorry I fell asleep, Uncle Harvey. He said, I want to try to be an encouragement. He said, Jackie, boy, shut up, man. I want to tell you something. He said, I got a real blessing today. And Jack Howell said, what are you talking about? You had both legs amputated. He said, all my life I've been looking for a cure for ingrowing toenail, and I finally found it today. Amen. Listen, don't you love people like that? And then, you know, somebody cited these three keys to happiness. Fret not, he loves you. Faint not, he holds you. And fear not, he keeps you. And then avoid being around negative people. Boy, I can't stand being around people at all. You know, there's a lady in a church down in Gaffney. If I saw her coming, I'd literally turn around and run. I mean, she'd tell you about all of her surgeries, and I don't even want to get into that. But, I mean, she just, for an hour, buddy, you'd be trapped up against a wall somewhere with her telling you about her problems, and all of them are not nice, and I just don't want to be around that. A man was on a bridge one time fixing to jump, and a policeman came up and said, please don't jump, let me talk to you 5 minutes, and they talked for 5 minutes, and then both of them jumped, amen. Anna Russell wrote a poem, and I probably shouldn't read it, but I am. She said, I went to my psychiatrist to be psychoanalyzed, to find out why I killed the cat and blackened my husband's eyes. He laid me on a downy couch to see what he could find, and here's what he dredged up from my subconscious mind. When I was one, my mommy hid my dolly in a trunk, and so it follows naturally that I became a drunk. When I was two, I saw my father kiss a maid one day, and that's why I suffer now from kleptomania. At three, I had the feeling of ambivalence towards my brothers, and so it follows naturally I poisoned all my lovers. But I'm happy now. Now that I've learned the lesson this is taught, that everything I do that's wrong is somebody else's fault. Boy, ain't that where we're at? And then if you want to be happy, here's a good one. Don't hold a grudge. Man, go to Ephesians 4:30. I'm going to have to hurry. Ephesians 4:30. The Bible said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. These next two verses ought to be the text verse of every independent Baptist. We're bad about shooting our wounded. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen, bitterness is like an acid. It destroys the vessel from the inside. I've got a message I preach on 8 side effects of the bitter pill. And buddy, bitterness will destroy you. And the people you're bitter at, they don't even care. They glad you are burned up with it. And so the only person in the world you're hurting is yourself. Don't be bitter. And don't hold a grudge. Listen, just forgive people and go on. Then become a servant. Mark 10, I'm not going to go there for time's sake. Mark 10, 44 and 45. If you really want to be happy, let your ministry be for the benefit of others. And then here's a good one. Over in Psalm 27 says, happy is a man that hath his quiver full. Have you a bunch of kids and grandkids? Boy, my wife said grandkids are God's reward for not killing your kids when they were teenagers. And I believe that. And then stand in times of trouble. Boy, just learn to stand for God. Get a tough hide. Don't be offended over everything. And stand up and just be counted. I'm going to read this. George Bernard Shaw, and I don't like to quote him because he's a liberal, ultra-liberal, and a eugenist. In other words, he believes you ought to get rid of all the undesirables. He's kind of like Hitler. But he said one thing in his miserable life that was good. He said, this is a true joy of life, being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one, being thoroughly worn out before you're thrown on the scrap heap, and being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clot of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world would not devote itself to making you happy. Boy, that's a lot in that statement. 10 rules for happier living. I'm going to give them to you quick. Give something away, no strings attached. When we were in Grenada, there was a lady right in the corner of our yard. There was a squatter's shack. And there was an elderly lady. She was in her 80s. Her name was Ms. Adina. And her husband was a crippled man. His legs were about that long, and they folded flat under his bottom. And the only way he could get around, he had a board that he'd strap himself to, and he could walk on his hands with that on that board. And I ever saw him leave the yard. And they cooked their meals outside over a coal pot, didn't have any electricity, didn't have any running water, didn't have any bathroom facilities. And one Christmas, I told my wife, I said, honey, I can't think of one thing I need for Christmas or want. I said, why don't we take our money and buy Ms. Adina a stove? When it rains, she can't go out and cook. So we went and bought a 2-burner kerosene stove and about 15 gallons of kerosene and took them to her and said, Ms. Adina, we want to set this up. We went in her little kitchen. Her kitchen was about twice as big as that organ there. I mean, a little bit of thing. We set that 2-burner stove over in the corner and set it up. And about 2 days later, I heard her singing to the top of her lungs. And I went over there and I said, Ms. Dinah, you all right? And she said, I'm preaching, cooking supper in the house. She said, first time in my life I ever cooked my supper in the house. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing in this world you could have gave us that made us as happy as seeing that lady with the joy of God on her. And then do a kindness and forget it. Spend a few minutes with the aged. Their experience is priceless. Look intently into the face of a baby and just marvel at what a mighty God we serve. Laugh often. It's life's lubricant. I love to laugh. I'm not a very defeated person and not a very depressed person. And I just love to have fun and pick at people and laugh. And we had a missionary and his son come up from St. Lucia, and his son was about 10 years old, and he'd never been off that island. Matter of fact, he probably never had been out of that village he was born in. And he didn't know anything about nothing. I mean, he just walked around in a daze looking at things. And we took him out to a steakhouse to eat, and they give you one of those little round things, you know, that buzz and flash when it's your turn to eat. And he said, "What's that?" And I told him what it was. I said, "It calls you when it's your turn to eat." And he said, "Can I hold it?" And I said, "You can hold it, but," I said, "you got to be careful." I said, "The other day one got to buzzing and flashing, blew up and killed two or three people." He said, "I ain't scared." And I handed him that thing. And about 5 minutes later, it went off. And he throwed that thing like a frisbee. Zoom! I mean, clean over the heads of the people in that steakhouse. Hit the wall and just crashed. And I fell on the floor laughing. And I told that lady, I said, "Go gather it up and I'll pay for it. Amen." I said, "It was worth whatever it cost." And listen, learn to just enjoy. Have some fun. Give thanks 1,000 times a day is not enough. And pray or you'll lose the way. Work with vim and vigor. Plan as though you'll live forever because you will. And live as though you'll die tomorrow because you will. I had no shoes and complained until I met a man who had no feet. If you're saved, if you're on your way to heaven, if you have food to eat, if you have someone to share it with, and clothes to wear and a family to love, be content. Don't worry. Be happy. And I want to say something else. The first step of being happy is knowing the Lord Jesus is your Savior. You'll never, hey, man, if I thought I was going to hell, there's no way I could be happy. Man, if I knew I was lost and undone and didn't have Christ, there's no way you can work yourself up to being happy. Man, if you're lost, get saved today and fall in love with God. And if you are saved, get some joy, get some of the joy of the Lord in your soul and let others see it. I had something else I wanted to do, but I don't know that I have time. Listen, I'm telling you, I was up in West Virginia the other day, and a 14-year-old girl got saved in a little old country church way out in the mountains. And the next night, she came to the altar praying. The little 14-year-old girl did. And I was standing in front. The preacher was busy dealing with people. I was standing in front, and an elderly woman, I didn't know at the time, but she was in her 90s, stepped out in the aisle, and a couple of men grabbed her by the arm. She came to the altar, and I stopped her, and I said, "Ma'am, can I help you?" And she said, "Preacher, see that girl over there praying?" I said, "Yeah, got saved." She said, "Can I get what she got?" She had saw something different in that girl's life, and that old 90-year-old woman got saved because that little girl had the joy of the Lord on her soul. Let them, don't be griping and complaining all the time. Let them see some joy in your soul. Father, we sure do love you today. Dear God, help us to be happy and help us to have the joy of the Lord in our soul. And dear God, use us in a mighty way. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You need to